Hey, it's Beth here. Over 65, still talking, we're still in the pandemic. And this is episode 101, May 6th, 2020, if you can believe it. So, what this is about is Zoom, Zooming, the Zoom sensation. Everybody's doing it. And I'm very bad at it. I have a failure to Zoom. I'm a Zoom dropout. I'm the worst Zoomer that ever was. It's worse than being on a business trip in Japan. I don't understand what anybody's saying or doing. My confidence is at an all-time low. I can't figure any of this out. Fun Party, all the other sites, they're all the same thing. It's like the Brady Bunch boxes, and it's chaotic. I can't read anybody's sign language. I do it mostly with two groups, nicest people in the world. One is a group I've known over 25 years, and I know these people, but I can't see them. I can't see their body language. I'm interrupting people, which makes me feel terrible, and then there's a silence. Oh my God, it probably happened in real life, but not like this, not this long. It's like the difference between playing tennis and golf. If you hit a stupid shot in tennis, they just pick the ball up and you go on to the next one. In golf, it takes a while in the golf cart to get there. I feel like Zoom is just, it's just not flowing, or not flowing for me. Maybe everybody else is having a great time. I don't know. I think I just need body language. I can't do it. So I think it's compartmentalized. Like, people are having different conversations in the same moment. We're all not on the same page. It's really funny. So, but I know it's my fault. I mean, if there's one person that is the worst at it is me. Other people seem better. They just have more class or something. So speaking about class, so what I decided to do was go to the conversation expert in my book, which is Pride and Prejudice, and it's Elizabeth Bennet, the greatest at this. She could take the temperature in every room she was ever in. She was poor, inferior. She was beneath them, so she got contempt. Not beneath contempt, but beneath people, so she got contempt, and she did. That was a big time for it was like a caste system over there in England, and she was not in a good place. She handled everybody. She knew exactly when to speak, when they were rattled, when they were not. Her greatest moment was Lady Catherine de Bourgh when she came over, and she just handled her. She was reading it. Very slyly, but she was reading her. And when she bristled, Elizabeth knew just what to do. When she was getting angry, Elizabeth knew just what to do. That book, the way she, that conversation, and she even handled Mr. Darcy, who in the very beginning of the book said that he couldn't converse with people that he didn't know, like it was beneath him. And, he didn't even want to improve it. He thought it was stupid. But then he was with her and he did change. Like, I think every woman wants to read a book where a guy changes one aspect of himself for you. I mean, you're changing stuff for him too, probably, but he changed a lot. When he talked to Mr. Gardner about fishing and he had that polite conversation that was effortless about the tree and the hickory nuts and then fishing and you can use my pole. When she was watching him have a conversation, it warmed her heart. It was, except for, well, in the movie, coming out of the water was great. But in the book, I thought this was a very, very sweet, very sexy moment, and I knew she was happy. So that is the thing. Now, I have to say what happened, the only reason I was bearing this silently. I was keeping all of this inside because I really was believing that all of this isolation was making me weird and I was never going to get back to normal, which I used to love to talk to people. That was my favorite thing. And 3, 4 hours could go by, and that was what I wanted to do. I love car drives. I never, we put on the music, but that's background. I'm talking, we're talking. I got, there's so much everybody has to tell me that I don't know. I don't know what their teacher's name was in third grade. I gotta find that stuff out. So I was really feeling like the coronavirus was ruining me, but it's not my fault. It hasn't ruined me because I got in my car for the first time in 8 weeks and I drove over to Debbie's driveway. I stayed in my car. She came out with a little folding chair, sat under a tree, and we talked, and it was normal. I wasn't bad at it. It was effortless, and we just kept going, and it was perfect. It was a normal conversation. I need to see people. I need to see their faces. I need to see their arms, their shoulders, how they're moving, when I make them angry, when I make them laugh, when they have something serious they want to tell me, they lean in, all these things. If I can't see it, I can't tell from their voice. Like maybe if I was blind, I'd be really good at that. I never used that. I mean, if they're screaming at me, I'm there, but I can't tell the subtle differences in the voice. And plus, everybody's got a different voice. But shoulders move in when people want to say something to you. Faces change, sad faces, happy faces. Most people are mostly the same. But I'm not crazy. And I'm not weird. I had a great time in her driveway yesterday. So I know that it's got something to do with this isolation thing. This super being a hermit thing, which I'm doing now. So I thought I would look up the most famous hermits that ever were. And I got the best ones. And there were quite a few, actually. So this is a thing, mostly a male thing, but a thing. So there's this guy named Noah Rondeau. And he lived for 40 years in upstate New York in a cave to escape crappy jobs. I love that. Then there was this guy. His name was Loincloth Manfred G. He was killed by an oil spill in Spain while living in his cave. He was making beautiful sculptures out of stone. And there was an oil spill and it got into his cave and all of his beautiful pieces of art got destroyed with oil. He told the town folk, he went down to the town covered in oil and his heart was broken. He was dead very short time after that, and he told them never to clean the sculptures. I want it to remain like that. I want the world to see what the world does to art. So he had a past, you know, he left a legacy. Then there's this guy named Valerio Ricciti, and he lived in a cave after losing all of his money in a brothel. Now, this was embarrassing because he had a huge sack of money, and he'd come from Spain to Australia. He got it far enough away from his mom, and the first thing he wanted to do was go to a brothel. If he did it in Spain, she would have found out. So he arrives with all of his money, all of his belongings, and he loses them. And the people in the brothel said they didn't even steal it, and he never got to have a girl. He didn't get one girl before he lost his money before anything even happened. So he was heartbroken, and he went to go live in a cave for the rest of his life from embarrassment. That's very sad. So then there's this guy named Masufi Nagasaki, and he lived naked on an island all by himself. And he did that because he thought being naked on a private island was the way to go. And being naked was just an added bonus. The thing was, he was spending his life finding the place he wanted to die. And he found it when he was only 25. But he had to stay there and wait it out because he thought the most important thing any man will ever do is find the place they want to die. He accomplished his task. Now, this was my favorite. His name was Hermit Pope Celestine Forcia. No, that's his last name is Celestine. Okay, he was Forciad. He was forced into the papacy at age 84. He was quite the candidate. He was not quite the candidate. He was sleeping in a cave, practicing mortification of the flesh. Practice makes perfect. This is how you do it. You have to wear horse hair shirts and they're itchy. really all day long, every day, and you have to wear an iron girdle. And this is how you do it. And he did it for many years. He became a great, one of the greatest mortification artists that ever lived. But for some reason, you know, Rome, the Holy Empire, the Catholic Church called him out of his happiness at 84 to be a pope. He was like, what? No. And they were like, yes, yes. So they put him on the throne. I mean, whatever, you know, it's not a throne, but it looks like a throne. They make him a pope, right? They put all the clothes on him, clean him up. And within 1 month, they said, I don't even know why they didn't know this was going to happen. They called him appalling and inglorious as a pope. So they kind of fired him. I mean, this guy's in shock, right? And he just wanted to go back to his cave. And they wouldn't let him go back to his cave because they thought he would become the anti-pope, which I had to look up, which means that there's this other guy and he calls himself like the mayor of the Vatican City or whatever. And he thinks that he should be the pope. They thought this guy who just wanted to wear a horsehair shirt and an iron girdle was going to want this job back. So, I mean, he died in jail like 10 months later. Hermits are smart. They're very smart. Don't let anybody mess with you. Poor guy. So anyway, I'm going to start praying to him. I'm sure he's not busy. Hermit Pope Celestine. He's a really great guy. So I've been thinking. And I thought I'd find a couple of jokes. Hermit jokes. Yes, that is the thing. Okay, so there's this hermit, right? Because it's a hermit joke. And he was the holiest of holy hermits. Holier than holy. So holy that he only accepted guests one day every 20 years and people lined up to see him because he had the answers. So in the town that was nearby, of course, for 20 years they would wait and they would pick the very best person in the town to go and meet the hermit. It was an honor. So this guy, wisest guy in the town, is picked. He's chosen. And he's so excited. But his mother says, you have to bring your brother. He's like, Mom. She's like, you have to do it for me, son. Just bring your brother. He's so screwed up. He needs it more than you do. He's a drunk. The guy goes, yeah, that's why you got to bring him to meet this wise man. He is a drunk. I admit it. And it's all my fault. And I admit that. She starts crying. So, of course, he relents. He's walking up the mountain with his drunk brother. And the whole time, the older brother is like, please, schooling him, please, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Don't blow this for me, man. I've been working on getting this for 20 years. Please, don't. He's like, yes, sire. This younger brother's such a jerk as he drinks more from his bottle. The guy's like, please stop drinking. Just stop drinking. Brother laughs in his face and finishes the bottle and throws it. This is not going to go well. They get there, of course. The older brother bows very respectfully. The younger brother just leans up against the wall. The older brother just says, don't look at him, please. Just talk to me. I need this. I need you. I need you to teach me how to be a better person. The hermit looks, you look pretty good to me. He goes, yeah, but I want to be pure. I want to be good. He said, okay, that's easy. That's easy. All you have to do is listen to the wind. The guy goes, the wind? He goes, yeah, all the answers are in the wind. All of them. All you have to do is listen. It's like, okay, listen to the wind. Yes, listen to the wind. So the hermit points to the younger drunk brother who's passed out, you know, collapsed on the ground now. And he goes, what can I do for you? And the older brother goes, listen, he's fine. He's perfect. He doesn't need anything. Doesn't need anybody. Guys, just great. He goes, no. I mean, he's here. I want to talk to him. And so the hermit just kicks him in the leg. And he goes, what can I do for you? The older brother says, please, no, he's just fine. Don't worry about it. He looks good, doesn't he? The hermit goes, listen. And the guy's like, please don't do it. Please leave my brother alone. He goes, what did I tell you? Listen. goes, what do you mean? To the wind? Remember I just told you earlier, listen to the wind? He goes, you mean I'm supposed to do that right now? The hermit's like, yes, right now. Shut up. Oh God. So the older brother just goes, oh God. And he just, okay. So he starts listening to the wind. And the hermit slaps the drunk brother again. Boom, boom, on the leg, boom. It wakes him up. And he goes, tell me, son, what can I do for you? What do you want? The drunk does go, and he goes, I've only got one thing to tell you. And the hermit's like, please tell me. He goes, okay. The drunk starts laughing and he goes, I got this joke. And he tells him this joke that he tells. He tells the hermit the dirtiest joke in the history of the world. It's so dirty that it has been lost to history. That's how dirty this joke is. The older brother can't believe. He stops listening to the wind and he listens to this and he's like, oh my God, he's aghast. The hermit is stone-faced. I mean, you can hear a pin drop in this cave. Silent, ashen-faced, the hermit brushes away the older brother and points to the drunk. The drunk looks very surprised and steps toward the hermit really cautiously. More time passes. The hermit looks right into the younger brother's eyes and he says, all right, stop me if you ever heard this joke. Okay, that's that one. It's a little odd. Here's another one. Okay. There aren't that many hermit jokes in the world, okay? Because I guess it's not really a thing. But there's one more hermit joke, and you might like it. It goes like this. There was a young, real hermit. I mean, a sincere hermit. And what I mean by that was he was rich and good-looking, and he had everything going for him. And he gave it all up to be a hermit. Now, that's a hermit I can believe in. Anyway, this guy, many, many years, he is in his cave, just praying to God, just alone as alone can be, sleeping on the hard stone floor of the cave for 50 years. Finally, God comes to him. He finally appears. The old man just, you know, brushes his eyes to get all the junk out so he can see it. It is God. He's like, oh my God, why did it take you so long to get here? I've been waiting 50 years. God smiles really sweetly at him and says, the time in heaven is very different, my son, from the time here on earth. What takes 5 decades on earth is a single second in heaven. Huh, the hermit goes, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. All right. So God says, yes. Just tell me what your wish was. What do you want? The hermit like rubs his hands together and he goes, oh, I wish for a kingdom, a very beautiful kingdom. And then I want a really, really, really gorgeous wife. I mean, drop dead gorgeous. And I want her to like me. I mean, I want her to like me so, so much. And then I also want all my money back, all of it, and then more, some more money. Because I want to buy this woman everything. God nods thoughtfully, then looks down. And the hermit goes, okay, okay, okay. She doesn't have to be gorgeous. She just has to be nice. Well, she has to be pretty. Pretty and she needs to like me a little bit. I mean, I need to work with something. And God goes, no, that's not what the problem is. He goes, okay, I don't need the biggest kingdom. He goes, no. The wife, the kingdom, the money, it's all fine. He said, I just can't believe this, but I forgot to bring my magic wand. And the old hermit is like, oh my gosh, my God, what's gonna happen now? He says, listen, don't worry about it. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. And the guy goes, a couple of minutes? No! So that's the end of that joke. And I feel like I love that one because I feel like in 20 years, we're gonna look back and we're gonna think, this was just a blink of the eye. the coronavirus. It was 2 months of our lives. And it's going to feel shorter looking back. But right now, it feels like 2 years. Just like up in heaven and down here on earth, the whole thing. So, I'm not cool with it. I'm starting to crack up. It feels more like 6 months. But I'm very happy to know I'm not weird. I was really, really, that's why I haven't done anything in like 5 days or 6 days, whatever it is, because I was sad and really feeling like I was weird. And all of my Zooming has been so horrible. I've been so upset afterwards thinking, oh, I cut that person off. Did I hurt her feelings or was I supposed to say something? I don't even know who's talking. And I just felt like a hermit, like I should just go away and I wasn't even, you know, nobody would mind. And that could be true, but I don't have to believe it. I can believe that, you know, I had a great time in the driveway. What can I say? I just need to see people like face to face. That's my thing. So, or I'm pretty good on the telephone because I'm used to it, but I'm not used to all these flashing boxes and people and movement and I'm not good at it. So anyway, failure to Zoom, but it's not forever. So just wanted to say hi, check in. Hope y'all, you know, I really hope the time just flies by, okay? I mean, I know everybody's getting really close to their families and learning all kinds of lessons, but I think we've learned all the lessons there are to learn. And I really hope that this is gonna move fast and we're gonna get back into real life in a matter of, I don't wanna say months, in a matter of not too long. So anyway, thanks and goodbye. I'm going to go to Morocco on another dream trip now that I think my brain is working a little bit better. So I will be doing that. I will see you soon, I hope to see you someday. I will be back to talk some more and I'm really can't get off. I just miss you guys. So I will be back soon, sooner than you think. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.